Iris. I have given you a room at the back, and it is impossible to hear from there what is going on at the front, however noisy my young guests might be. You have always been kindness itself, Frau Bubner, Paul Ferraris replied. The proprietress, putting the coffee down on the table, smiled at him affectionately. I shall never forget when I first saw you, a thin snippet of a lad you were, a new student at the university, and rather afraid of what would happen to you. But then, when I heard you playing, she threw up her hands. At that moment, I knew unmistakably that you were a genius. You were the only one who recognized it in those days. I am never mistaken, Frau Bubner said, shaking her finger at him. Never, never. And with you, there was no chance of my making a mistake. Gisela clasped her hands together. She knew that it made her father so happy to hear such things said to him in his beloved Austria, where he had studied at the University of Vienna. On the way, he had talked of nothing but the people who had been kind to him as a young man, and how he hoped that they were all still alive. They had arrived in Vienna earlier that afternoon, after a long and tiring train journey that seemed as if it would never end. They had taken a carriage out of the city and up into the Vienna woods to the inn where Paul Ferraris had claimed that he would be welcome even after 25 years. Gisela had been half afraid that the place would be closed or would have changed hands, and she knew how much that would disappoint her father. However, after a moment's hesitation at the sight of him, when he said his name, Frau Bubner had flung her arms round him and exclaimed, "It's my scraggy little Paul, the Englishman who was so afraid of Vienna, but who could play the violin like an angel. Welcome back, welcome." After that, there had been reminiscences, toasts, and news of people who were only names to Gisela. She was very content to listen and know that her father seemed to be in better health and happier than she had seen him since her mother had so sadly died. For more than 2 years, they had wandered from place to place, settling nowhere, and only when it seemed that their money was going to run out, because he had earned so little, did her father say, "We will go to Vienna, then. It is where I have always meant to return, but your mother always preferred to go to France." It was Gisela's mother who had looked after everything these past years. Her husband might make the music of angels, but he had no idea that those who relied on him had to eat. He would play just for his wife and his daughter, an audience of two, as contentedly and brilliantly as if he was playing in a packed theatre. Paul Ferraris had been acclaimed in Paris, and with his wife organising his engagements, he had made a good deal of money until the outbreak of the Franco-Prussian War, and when the Germans had marched in, those who could afford it had left as quickly as they possibly could. Quite soon afterwards, his wife had died very tragically after a sudden illness, and Paul Ferraris and Gisela spent a short time in the south of France. But there was very little money to be made there, and after they had moved through Italy to Greece, finally, Paul Ferraris had yearned for Austria, and especially for Vienna. Gisela, attempting to take her mother's place, asked him whom they should approach to arrange a concert for him or an engagement in one of the best theatres. "They will all know my name, there is no doubt about that," he said. "All we have to do is to contact my friends." When Gisela pressed him for their names, he was rather elusive. It worried her, but she was still sure that his name would have preceded him, and Johann Strauss, whose music was to be heard everywhere, would at least welcome him as a fellow artist. In the meantime, Frau Bubner remembered him, and Gisela was determined to talk to her alone when the opportunity arose. "You are doing well here," her father was saying. "Surely the place is a little larger than I remember."
"Larger, mein Herr, it is double the size," Frau Bubner exclaimed. "We are fashionable. Everybody, sooner or later, comes to drink my wines and eat my schnitzels."
"If they are as good as those we have had tonight," Paul Ferraris said, "then I am not surprised.
Tomorrow I will cook you my palatschinken."
Paul Ferraris smiled with delight.
"No one could cook them like you, mein Frau, and I have already..."